Sold tape.
The champ is
Champions
here.
Live is the name. Talking sports is our game.
Players.
And we are back for the stretch run. UrbanMediaToday.com is the website. Urban Media Today Radio is the place to go to listen to the best sports talk in all the United States of America. Soul Take Champions Live, coming to you live from Pittsburgh, PA. And we got a Pittsburgher by way of New Mexico, by way of Compton. Hey, Robin, that first Super Bowl for you, that moment out the tunnel.
78, right?
Yeah.
That moment out the tunnel. What was your feeling, if you can recall that moment?
Oh, we were
against the Dallas Cowboys.
Cowboys. I was so hyped. You're playing America's team. You're playing the best team in the National Football League on the NFC side.
The so-called Americans.
Yeah, or still they still call them that. Mm-hmm. Now they're trying to call the Patriots now. But you know guys that you knew everybody. Okay, I've been knowing these guys for years because I was following the Dallas Cowboys. Before I came to Pittsburgh, because that's one of the teams that we saw at the University of New Mexico where I went to school. We saw the Denver Broncos and we saw the Dallas Cowboys. Those are the games that we saw all the time. And started to develop a relationship with the recruiters in those years. So I kind of knew those players. I knew those players more so than I knew the players with Pittsburgh until I got drafted by the Steelers, and then I got to know the guys on the other side. And so here we are getting ready to play the biggest game of the year, biggest game ever, Dallas Cowboys and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And everybody's watching this game. You know everybody's watching this game. And I couldn't feel my feet.
That's what I was trying to get to.
Man, my feet was soon they hit the ground, they went, just popping up off the ground like I was stepping on hot coals or something, just ready.
That's what I was trying to get
to. And we got there, but yeah. At the end, something happened in that game that threw me off. But ready, because there's stories. Okay, yeah. What happened to me is this game, okay. Lauren Taves and I had been alternating throughout the year. Okay, I would shut down the run. Okay, and I would help the other guys. See, I realized that my job was more than my job. My job was to help Dwight White over here and help Benjamin Banaszak over here and also help Mel Blount. That's the way I visualize it. It wasn't – other linebackers would look at themselves and just say, look, I'm doing my job, okay? I understood my job to for this game, you know, the job is bigger, okay?
And you had Tony Dorsett on the other side.
Tony Dorsett, and I'm glad they didn't play him until the fourth quarter.
Isn't that something?
Because if they would have started Tony Dorsett, we probably lost the game. Because we never stopped him.
Is that similar to this year's Super Bowl where Malcolm Butler
didn't play the whole game? Yeah.
And as a coach, you're supposed to put your team in the best position to win, right?
Well, yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. But, you know, the coaches nowadays are trying to be babysitters and stuff like that. You know, I don't know what they're doing now. You know, you stepped on my foot or something. I don't have no idea what they think. Some people, they think that way.
Right.
Okay. And they still think that way. I don't want to go down. I know it's Black History Month, but I don't want to go down way down over there. But I mean, you know, we don't know what's the thinking of some men at some times.
Sure.
On either side.
Sure.
We just don't know. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of them, they can be, you know, well, you hurt my feelings because I told you to stand up and you sat down.
So,
or something. I don't know.
I have a big problem, and it's always good talking to former Steelers, okay, when it comes to this, because, you know, I'm a big Steelers fan, season ticket holder. Been there from the beginning, okay? And I love this guy as a player, but he gets on my nerves today.
Mm-hmm.
Terry Bradshaw.
Mm-hmm.
What is his problem? What is his problem with Mike Tomlin? Okay, from a coach's standpoint, he's probably the number two coach of all the coaches, active coaches right now.
Yeah, yes.
And the other guy in New England, he cheats. They say he's number one.
Uh-huh.
Tomlin is number one in my book, but according to most people, they'll say Tomlin is two, but Bradshaw never gives Tomlin his respect. So was it? Can you explain that a little bit?
Oh, I can't go there. I don't, because I have no idea. I don't know. I have no idea what's in his head. Okay, and that's the thing about mankind. You just have no idea what people are thinking and why they're thinking this way. Okay, you really don't know. It gets to the point where it sounds personal.
Sure.
And I'm why isn't he? Because I thought about that. So why are you out of all the people to pick on? Okay, yes. You're picking on a guy that's won more games than he's lost. Okay, it's always knocking on the door in the playoffs. Okay.
Right.
We see other things happening out on the football field. We all see that.
Right.
When you look at enough film, you see it too. And Perry probably sees some things out on the football field. And I kind of wonder sometimes what film they're watching.
And that's,
okay. But that's just part of the preparation of the game, though.
And that's only one incident. And I can go on and on. You know, everything from player reunions. He doesn't show up. Mr. Rooney, Dan Rooney just passed.
Yeah.
Didn't come to the funeral. So it's really to the point where I wish we would just divorce him. You know, just make it formal. You know, we're divorcing you. This has never been done in Steeler history, but based on your behavior, we're divorcing you.
It's speaking of divorce, I think it has a lot to do with similar attitude that may prevail in a broken marriage, since you use the word divorce. You know, there's some divorces happen and both people get along with their lives.
That's right.
Very well.
Very few.
But there's some divorces that happen and one or the other are bitter to the end.
You're exactly right.
I think Terry Bradshaw's, and I'm glad you brought it up, Cam, because I think Terry Bradshaw's problem go all the way back to Joe Gillum. I think they go all the way back to where everybody was calling him dumb and unintelligent. I think it goes back to Chuck Knell clamping down on him the way that he did and maybe seemingly embarrassing him in public.
And
I think he carries all that stuff and piles it on. And I think the final part of what I think is he is so Hollywood now. He went Hollywood. He went big time. And he believes that he has a position by which he can spoof this stuff, and I think it has a lot to do with all that, in my opinion.
Well, explain this. There's been two coaches since Chuck Knoll, okay? Bill Cowher and Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
You never heard him say anything about Bill Cowher. So why is he saying it? And Bill Cowher has lost AFC Championship games at home. Okay, games that the Steelers clearly should have won.
Like Robin said, it's Black History Month. So be careful. You might be crossing over now.
Bradshaw has never come out against Cowher talking about he's a cheerleader, talking about how.
And there wasn't a bigger cheerleader than Cowher.
You're exactly right about that, for sure. Because I was wondering, where are you going with this? I mean, I'm asking the question, where are you going with this? Because I thought about it. I said, wait, I never heard you say anything about Cowher like this. Where are you going with this?
Right.
Okay. And so, like I said, I have no idea where he's going with it.
Robin, what was it like growing up in Compton? And is it like what the movies portrayed? Is it every part of it is just a threatening life experience every day of the week, and is it that bad?
Or did it change over time?
Yeah, it changed over time. Because you got to think back to Compton. Compton in the 60s, in those early years, I mean, golly, it was pretty balanced. I mean, you know, back in the 60s, it was like 50-50, 50% African-Americans, 15% Caucasians, and then also Hispanics. Hispanics was a low number. Mm-hmm. Today, it's probably 50-50 or maybe even more Hispanics now living in Compton than it is African-Americans that are living in Compton. So it's changed over the years. But you have to also, now a trivia question. 1944, who graduated from Compton High School that started the Super Bowl?
I can tell you right now, I don't have a clue.
So 1944, so you're probably talking about the beginning of the Super Bowl era in the late 60s.
Pete Rozelle graduated from Compton High School.
that's a shock.
And in the early years, in the 40s, Linwood, his family lived in Linwood. His mother and father, back in the day, I had a sister-in-law that lived next door to his mom. Okay, And we kind of developed a relationship at the Super Bowl in 1978. I pulled him to the side, said, "Hey, look, everybody, you have a sister-in-law live next door to you." He said, "What? I'm from Compton." He said, "Compton, we started the conversation." But
right.
They used to bus him all the way to Compton High School. Compton High School is one of the oldest schools in that area.
Okay. So we could see Pete with a shirt on, with a T-shirt on that says, "I'm straight out of Compton."
Yeah, we lost him quite a few years ago. Yeah. His brother's still living. When we did the gold balls a year ago, his brother's son was there representing Pete for that.
Mm-hmm.
So Compton was, when I left Compton and realized what was going on in other communities, I realized that we lived pretty good. We lived pretty good. We had clean streets. We didn't have a lot of Mickey Mouse things going on. Mm-hmm. The gang stuff kind of started when I was in high school, and they were just getting started when I was leaving, getting ready to go to the University of New Mexico. And most of those gangs, those people, were like you knew in the movie, when that guy when the guy stopped that bus and he said where they were from, they're from L.A. That's when that gang stuff started happening.
You missed it.
Oh, well, they were pushing them. Two things happened. Los Angeles was pushing the sheriffs from L.A., was pushing them down south, and then they were pushing them down too far south. They started coming into Long Beach. Long Beach was pushing them back up north, and they ended up in Compton.
Now,
okay, well, Compton, Watts, and those areas, okay? Mm-hmm. And then they're coming through terrorizing, in which they really shut down our city parks because people wouldn't take their kids to parks anymore. Kids haven't learned how to play baseball for years now.
Now, coming out of high school, who were you recruited by?
I was recruited by UCLA, Stanford. Mm-hmm. I was recruited by Yale. I was recruited by Washington State, UC Riverside, Claremont's Man's College, University of Hawaii.
Okay. I was just curious if you were recruited by either USC or UCLA.
Yeah, UCLA.
UCLA.
Yeah, okay. USC said, everybody was lining up to go there. So.
Okay, you didn't like that, what is it, blue and gold or blue and yellow?
The colors?
Yeah.
It's too close to home.
Too close to home.
Yeah,
okay.
As a young man, I watched my brothers and sisters. I'm from a family of 9 siblings, 10 total.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched my brother's friends that left, that were big in the city. We thought they were going to go to college and do something real big. And 2 years later, they were out of school. Couldn't figure out why they were out of school. Same thing with my sister. People I saw, I started to get closely, start watching and listening to what they were saying. And they went to schools that were close and local, but the riffraff followed them.
Right.
They ended up flunking out of school. So I said, you know what? The further I get away, the better, but not too far.
Okay, and I think you made a great decision because I think UCLA is for basketball. Mm-hmm. And USC is for football, right?
because of that situation, because UCLA, I was seriously looking at UCLA.
Yeah.
But it was that part of it.
Okay. I'd probably have to take that University of Hawaii trip.
They almost lost me over there.
It may not have led you to the NFL, but it would have been a good 4 years.
If you could stay in school.
So, Robin, let's before we get too far down the line, let's talk about something that you're doing that's near and dear to your heart and meaningful and purposeful in our community and for that matter across the country. But you have a foundation that's doing some great things.
Yeah, and we used to be called Obadiah Cole Foundation. We're in the process of changing the name to the Robin Cole Foundation. In the Robin Cole Foundation, what we do, it's for prostate cancer. I'm a cancer survivor myself, and I have 7 brothers, and all of us ended up with prostate cancer. My father passed away at the age of 49 because of prostate cancer, and some of his brothers, which were my relatives, my uncles, also ended up with prostate cancer. So it was something that was in the family and been in the family for a while. And what I recognized when I was diagnosed with prostate cancer is that nobody's talking about this. Why isn't anybody talking about prostate cancer? Everybody, we're talking about other cancers, colon cancer. We're talking about breast cancer. We're talking about pancreatic cancer. And we have 30,000 men dying every year because of prostate cancer. Nobody's talking about it. What's going on here? Okay? Not enough awareness.
Yeah.
Okay? And so I just, awareness, educating men and doing free screenings, that's kind of what our mission is. And but I want to take it get it to a national level. It's just not happening the way it needs to happen here. And it's simply because, it just may not have enough people interested in it, enough people that I haven't been able to get in front of the right people that can help support this, because, I've known for years there are people out there that has dollars that are willing to help out with causes and that has the diseases. So I know people that have the diseases that are billionaires. They support cancer, but when it comes to prostate cancer, I don't think anybody has sat down with those people and shared with them what we need to do. I think right now with genetic testing, that's going to be our that's the future of knowing ahead of time, especially with healthcare being the way it is. At the age of 20, you can know whether you're a carrier or if you have the gene for prostate cancer, you have the gene for even breast cancer because men are carriers of the breast cancer gene. Also, we found out a year and a half ago that women are carriers of the prostate cancer gene, too. So a woman can pass down the prostate cancer gene to her son. Mm-hmm. Most women don't know that because we just found out about it because of the studies that we're doing with genetic testing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a way that we can get our wives and we can get our moms and we get them involved with an understanding about it.
So there's 4 months in an NFL season, primarily the regular season. So we know October is for breast cancer,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Yes.
We see
that's
the
breast cancer month.
Breast cancer awareness. We know November, normally in the NFL, is for veterans.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so we still have September.
September.
And we still have December. So it would
September
be great.
September is prostate cancer awareness month.
Okay,
it'd
so
be
it
great
fits
to
right
do
in
something.
With the NFL.
Fits right in. Well, we had some conversation about that. They just they're not interested in it right now. Mm-hmm. You know, some we just haven't got there. That's why I think that it's a men's disease, okay?
And that's who plays football.
Yeah, okay. You would think.
So,
well, you have, you know, I mean, but Dan Rooney had prostate cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Just that some things just don't attract
yes.
the right people
for most businesses is dollars and cents. Okay, now I would say that now prostate cancer was on the table when they before they bought breast cancer, it just decided it was a decision. They had some owners that wanted to go to prostate cancer route because they had prostate cancer, okay, but they decided to go breast cancer because they wanted to, they're trying to bring more women to the game.
Right.
Yeah, and that's bigger, what it did.
Yeah. It's a more notable thing.
Yeah. It's a great thing. All of them are great.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's just helping people understand. You know, most people don't understand how important it is to get yourself checked when it comes to these cancers. Mm-hmm. And I think with genetic testing, you don't have to be getting checked the way that we get checked today with just a simple blood test. You can get your everything checked at the age of 20, and you'll know that you're carrying that gene. So when you get 40 and something gets active, you're on top of it.
Right. And let me say this, because the name of our show is Soul Tate Champions Live. Okay, mm-hmm. So from a Soul Tate standpoint, from an African-American mm-hmm. perspective,
mm-hmm.
we need to get checked a lot earlier,
mm-hmm.
for the most part, than our other peers.
Yeah.
So I want to send that message out there as well,
mm-hmm.
you know, to have all of these different checks earlier mm-hmm. versus later. Now, what is
normally? The age, really, I think you should have a baseline test at the age of 40. Okay. Especially mm-hmm. with African-American males.
Sure.
At the age of 40, even if you have family history.
And we're talking PSA.
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 Yeah.
So you could have the regular exam,
mm-hmm.
and then you have a PSA.
Because you have that PSA, they'll give you numbers mm-hmm. and tell you where your PSA number is. And if your number is elevated a little bit right there, then somebody can begin to follow you.
Sure.
And now the thing about it, you know, because we have African Americans, for whatever reason, it's 1 out of 6 to 7 that will be diagnosed with prostate cancer,
mm-hmm.
okay, which is a very high number, opposed to 1 out of 3 to 4 for Caucasian males
mm-hmm.
or white males,
mm-hmm.
okay? But you got to think about it.
Say those numbers again.
It's 1 out of 3 to 4 mm-hmm. for Caucasian males, 1 out of 6 to 7
mm-hmm.
for black males.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying it's higher for black Caucasians.
Males.
Okay, but the numbers are reversed.
I'm population wise, there's more white males than there's black males.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, therefore, even though you think it, we think it, there's more black males passing away, mm-hmm. but it's not because it's more than there's more of them.
Right.
Okay.
But I got to stop both of you guys because we're running against the clock. But I do want to ask this of you, Robin: is there a number or a website or an email address you want to give out? Because remember, this is going across the country. If you're looking for volunteers, if you're looking for sponsorship, if you're looking for people to get involved with this project, mm-hmm. how can they get involved?
Oh, just robincolefoundation.com.
Simple enough. robincolefoundation.com mm-hmm. to get involved with just your foundation, helping
you Google, projects. You Google my name. And even if you Googled my name, it will lead you and take you to the foundation.
And listen,
and then you go to the foundation, telephone numbers on it, all
types of information. Need to have. On it. And if you're living in the Pittsburgh area, they can get involved directly.
We want you to get involved living in the Pittsburgh area. We want more men involved. We want more women involved. And that's the other side of this, because we have women out there that have husbands that have passed away because of prostate cancer. Get them involved. We want to get them involved. We want, you know, we want people involved.
I want you to wrap up the show with some comment on how you felt about Greg Lloyd being inducted into the Black College Football Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's.
But before you do that, I do want to just make mention that on my last prostate exam, I almost proposed to my doctor.
Okay.
It was. I mean, I'm just saying it was that engaging.
Next
testing
time,
has gotten better and easier.
Next, and you shouldn't have had to do that then, because the blood test is the one that tells the story.
You got a doctor that enjoys what he's doing. So
see, I didn't want to go there.
I'm just saying. So listen,
we stopped doing that test 10 years ago.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. But listen, Robin, we close out your greatness as a 2-time Super Bowl champion with the greatest team in football history the greatest defense by far in football history.
So you get lost in it sometimes. You do.
Yeah. Greg Lloyd got inducted into the Black College Football Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's phenomenal.
Along with Hollywood Henderson.
Yeah, so, two great guys.
But your feelings about Greg Lloyd, who made a footprint in a couple different
ways. You better believe it. Fantastic. Greg was a great player. Great man still today. Pretty darn good golfer, too.
Can he golf?
He can golf.
And has a black belt in karate.
Yeah, a black belt of 7 degrees.
Can you golf,
yeah.
Robin?
Yeah, I can golf.
You can golf?
Yeah.
Well, what's your average?
My handicap? I'm all handicapped, really,
score.
To tell the truth.
My average,
I haven't had – my best is yet to come.
Okay. All right.
My best is yet to come. But I love to be out there on the field. I like to be out there on the golf course. I had stem cell treatment on my right shoulder now, so I'm just loosening it up. Didn't play much last year because of that. But I'm looking forward to it, so I'm getting ready.
Medical enhancements.
Oh, yeah. Well, this shoulder's metal already, so this one wanted to be metal, so I didn't want it.
So that being said, Robin, so you're healthy, life is good.
Is good. Congratulations, Greg Lloyd.
Huh? You still work out? Are you still active?
I have to. Yeah, I have to. Body hurts, aches. Mm-hmm. This weather here jumps on me real bad. It's time for me to work my way down south.
In Pittsburgh.
And I'm still here.
Given the weather. And you didn't move away.
And all my kids are moved.
Wow.
I have to go visit them down south in Alabama.
This is another reason Memphis, I say James Harrison shouldn't have went to New England, because – when his career is done, he could come back and make a good living like you.
Well, he's probably he's expanding his consciousness, I guess I would say. He's looking at other opportunities and looking to work with other businessmen, probably.
There you go.
You're looking at when you're at the end. You're looking and say, look at what the opportunities what they are, and you never know. It may be better for him over there.
Speaking of the end, we have come to the end of yet another great show. We want to thank Robin Cole, Pittsburgh Steelers linebacker, number 56, if you've forgotten. And if you forgot, they called him Big Rob for a reason. Hey, Cam, we were doing football camp one summer. I told Rob, you don't look too big to me, Rob. We might contangle if you want.
He didn't try, though, did he?
Well, no, somebody blew the whistle. We had to get back to it. But, I mean, if somebody don't blow that whistle, one of us ain't here today. That's all I can say. Hey,
guys don't understand that, when it comes to tangling and doing things like that, when you reach a point to where the level that we play at, we don't hurt anymore. So you get to a point to where you don't care. I've run into some of the biggest men running okay, full speed at one another, suicidal. And we're crashing. Yeah, okay, so you know, somebody off the street talk about to tell me what about what they're gonna do and all that kind of stuff.
I say, what? Well, hard air. You didn't play the day where you had all these rules that protected and everything else.
So it doesn't, nothing hurts anymore.
And you ever notice, I'm sure we can all attest to this, when you go to a game and you hear somebody three rows behind you talking about this guy's a bum or he can't do that, you know for a fact that guy behind you never played anything but checkers. Because anybody that's ever played, not only football, but any level of major competition, you know the pain that comes from it. And I know I, for one, never sit in the stands and ridicule athletes because you know what that guy has gone through. And on the level that you played at, I mean, like you just said, on the level you played at, Robin, it was a full-on collision every play. And every play could be your, any play could be your last play. Yeah. Speaking of which, let's end the show on this if we can steal another moment from Trev. Your feeling about Shazier and how you felt in the moment and anything that you're feeling now?
Oh, that's hard. That's hard. I had a similar thing happen to me, but I just went – you know, I'd have a feeling in my lower body just for a couple seconds, okay, and it came back. But now when I look back at it, I was probably knocked out a little bit, but it was just a half a second there. That's very hard, and blessings for him, and still today, and his team said he's, you know, they've got him over there, they're working with him. I don't know that he'll come back and play or not, but you know how some football players are. You know how we are. You know, that happened early in my career, and everything happened after that as far as my career is concerned. So, you know, we want to and we'll kind of try, but we have to make sure that everything's good. And I think the Pittsburgh Steelers is going to, you know, take care of him in a good way. And I think he likes coaching, so he may get an opportunity to do that over the years. So I hope so.
And you know he has that spirit. So
yeah,
we do hope for the best.
Yeah.
Well, that finally wraps up the show. So once again, we appreciate Robin Cole being here. We'll see you next week on Urban Media Today Radio. And again, you can tune in urbanmediatoday.com, and that'll take you to the best sports show in town. Champions aren't born, they're made, and we make them better than anyone. Soul Tape.
The champ is
Champions
here.
Live is the name. Talking sports is our game.